Our movie critic, Bob Mondello, is spending some time in Argentina, where he says the big films at the moment are Terminator 3 and Buscando a Nemo. His biggest discoveries have not been in the movie theaters of Buenos Aires, but underground, on the city's subway.
The subways of Buenos Aires are beautiful in a style not much found in the U.S. anymore. Back near the turn of the last century, it was old-world artisans, most of them from Italy, who created the ornate tilework for stations where passengers started boarding trains just months after New York's first subway line opened. The Subte, as it's called here, was modeled by British engineers on London's underground, which means that U.S. riders are likely to spend their first few visits entering stations on the wrong side of the street. But you quickly get used to the system and to the differences between its five main lines. For 70 centavos, about 19 cents at current exchange rates, you can, for hours, sample the cushioned seats on the bright red B trains that go through the theater district, swoosh across town in older yellow cars on the C line, and view the intricate tile murals that grace stations everywhere, some merely decorative, others telling narrative stories about everything from a convent established in the 1700s to a science fiction encounter that a 1950s comic book artist set in the Uruguay station, which is also, of course, where they put his mural. But the most evocative ride by far is on Linea A, Line A, with its vast open tunnel beneath the avenue that runs between two big government buildings, the Casa Rosada, or Pink House, and Congreso, and then out into the suburbs. You can see trains approaching from three stops away, long before you hear the clatter of their wheels. A planned modernization of Linea A was put on hold when the Argentine economy fell apart 2 years ago. That delay was possibly the only good thing to come from the collapse of the nation's currency. Pulling into the station, the unmodernized 1930s-era trains look conventional, metal-sheathed cars painted blue and gray. But as the doors open, you enter a world that otherwise disappeared decades ago. Rich wood paneling from floor to ceiling, comfortably curved, slatted wooden seats, somewhat worn by use but miraculously untouched by carving or graffiti. Strap hangers hold onto ivory-colored rings, leather handles grace openable windows, mirrors have beveled edges, and the doors can be pulled open a few seconds before the train stops, so departing passengers can use the forward motion to get a running start toward the turnstiles. Look down the subway car from one end, and you can see the wooden walls bend slightly as you round turns, the straps all swinging together beneath two rows of frosted glass light fixtures that look like upside-down wine goblets. With the cars so richly textured, it makes sense that the stops are less ornate than on other lines. Simple, color-coded stations, purple tiles for Congreso, royal blue ones for Sáenz Peña, orange for Peru. What seems a gracious and arbitrarily attractive design choice from a less standardized age actually had a perfectly practical rationale. It helped non-Spanish speakers and riders who weren't literate enough to read the signs figure out where to get off. Still works today, I suppose, though with so much old-world elegance, it's harder to see why anyone in his right mind would want to get off. In Buenos Aires, I'm Bob Mondello.